Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to my favorite married actors, Amarika Olivo and Christian Campbell. She is currently featured in recurring roles on not one but two NBC dramas, Chicago PD and Defiance, plus she has a recurring role in the new season of Degrassi, The Next Generation. And he recently appeared in episodes of three genre favorites, White Collar on USA, Elementary on CBS, and Haven on Sci-Fi. This is Amarika's third appearance on Mr. Media and Christian's second. Stick around, because they're not just really nice, they're probably also the best-looking couple ever to appear on this show. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you by Amazon.com, Audible.com, and 1-800-DIAL-DJs. Please stop by the website, MrMedia.com, click on our advertisers, support the show. And remember, there's more than 1,000 interviews available at MrMedia.com. We've been doing this since February 2007. Hope you'll find something you like. And thanks for listening. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of happily married acting couples that include Ben Stiller and Christine Taylor, Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick, Warren Beatty and Annette Bening, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos, Jamie Lee Curtis and Christopher Guest, Michael J. Fox and Tracy Pollan, Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, married couples only. In the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. If you're a good-looking actor or actress in Hollywood, and talented, and you're not getting what you think is your fair share of work, blame Amarika Olivo and Christian Campbell. From an outsider's perspective, they appear to be working all the time, maybe even time and a half or double time. Now, my favorite acting couple has been busier than ever of late. Let me run down some of their individual credits. Amarika, currently appearing in recurring roles on two NBC dramas, Chicago PD and Defiance, plus recurring on Degrassi, The Next Generation. She previously starred in a series of indie films, including Bitch Slap, Neighbor, and Circle. She also was in Friday the 13th and Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, and appeared in the original production of the Broadway musical, Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark. And I hate to say this in front of her husband, who I like a lot and I'm hoping likes me, but you may have seen her naked once or twice on film and in an epic Playboy magazine appearance. Now, Christian has recently appeared on USA's White Collar, as well as a second season episode of CBS's Elementary. He was also in the two final fifth season episodes of Haven on Sci-Fi. He's best known probably for his multiple season run on HBO's Big Love. He also plays an artistically frustrated ghostwriter, and that's his description, in the upcoming film An Unkindness of Ravens. Oh, and you may know his sister, who also acts. Let it go at that. Together, Amarika and Christian recorded voices for an animated feature roughly based on the Brothers Grimm folktale Bremen Town Musicians. Like I said, they've been busy. Amarika Olivo and Christian Campbell, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Christian, anything you want to say in defense of my reference to your wife's
I know what I got myself into. She, the Playboy thing opportunity came up, I think, 2 days or 3 days after we got engaged, so I just thought I'd died and gone to heaven.
I asked his permission, and I asked my dad's permission, too, before doing it. And he got really excited. My dad didn't really get excited about the idea, but he had a really lovely, his response was, do whatever makes you happy. And then I thought that was really sweet.
Said the man who married Miss Canada. All right. Well, now I'm assuming that you guys will be speaking to me one at a time this time around while the other spouse is either acting or negotiating for a new role. Is that the way this is going to work?
Absolutely. There'll be something you might, yeah. There might be some calls.
Good. I hope so, actually. Seriously, are you guys as busy as it sounds, or have I just amped it up a little too much?
We're actually busier than that. Because a lot of people don't understand that, don't know that behind the scenes of the acting, there's also the other things that we do in our life. We're now producing. We just did a play that I directed and Amrika wrote along with some other people and produced. We just did that last week. Shooting a commercial on the 30th, shooting a dance video on the 30th. That's all stuff that people generally don't see. So
Christian's become just recently on the board of the Players Club in Gramercy Park in New York. And now somehow we're like event coordinating a lot too. There's always an event or a party or something. It just seems like his mom came into town recently and she's like, "Do you guys ever talk about anything besides work?"
No, but when you enjoy what you do, it's easy to talk about. So,
yeah.
I agree. I know I tell that to my daughter all the time that, you know, I love what I do, and so I like to do it. I look forward to getting up in the morning, spending the whole day doing it. I talk about it. I can't wait to do more of it, and I can see that. And and I imagine part of the job is getting the next job, right? Because it's the only way you stay busy.
The work is actually getting the job.
Yeah.
Once we're working, Amrika and I, when we're working as actors, it feels like a holiday for us.
It's true.
Like getting the job is the work.
It's true. When we go on holiday, we're often still working because we're either reading scripts or we're taking interviews online or doing them on tape and sending them in. And so it's actually when we have a job is when we literally block out with our management agents and say, you know, I'm only focusing on this one thing from here to this date to this date. And it is just bliss. It's a hotel room.
It feels like going to summer camp.
Yeah. Right. And you get to meet new people and you're just thinking about your one role and you get to dive into it. And just, I love that. That's the greatest.
And how do you guys account for all the work of late? I mean, we've spoken a couple times in the past and we've actually stayed a little bit in contact in between the interviews. And it just seems to me that you're a lot more busy now than you've been. Is it good timing? Is it good looks? Is it just the accumulation of everything you've put in to get to this point?
All of the above?
There's a lot of – well, thank you for saying we're good looking. There's a lot of good looking people out there. There's a lot of people that work hard. And I think it's a couple things. It's really – there is, a lot of people at this stage – in their lives, they either retreat from this profession. Like, I just can't do it anymore. Or you just go all in and you start to do all in because you have to reinvigorate yourself and your career with doing, as Christian said, some of the directing and the writing and the producing to find new aspects of the business and the industry and the art form to interest you, keep you excited. Otherwise, it's just auditioning, just doing these little bit parts here and there. So by keeping excited about the projects that we're working on, either our own or we're really investing in some and in great in our art form, and I think that's just committing to it. I think that's. Does that make any sense? Does that kind of run on?
A little run on. It's okay. Don't worry.
Committing to it rather than feeling at this point exhausted by it. Because it takes a lot of energy, this business. I'm sure many businesses do, but this industry really, does.
A lot of. Go ahead, Christian.
No. It's okay. It's also it's a new business model too, the industry, in that it doesn't work like it did in the 90s or even in the early 2000s. The recession and technology and new media has really changed. The lifestyle of an actor or anyone in our industry, because it's changed the business model in a way that we're actually not – it's not a livable wage just to be an actor anymore. You got to hustle your own work now on and beyond it. You've got to be producing and directing and creating, and you got to be firing on all cylinders. You can't just have agents and expect them to bring you work and expect to make a living that way, unless, of course, you're in that tiny little percentage. But the business model has changed, and so you have to hustle a lot more. And I think that doesn't just exist in our industry. I think that exists in other industries too. The recession has really restructured America in a way, and for the good, perhaps. You know, it's taken a lot of the fat out, but it's made me a lot busier person now. That's for sure.
We're really lucky, just like you, in that I'm lucky that I have such a tech savvy husband who. And I'm savvy enough that we're able to take our business on the road with us, so we can afford to continue to work wherever we are in the world. Whereas some people who aren't as tech savvy can't do the interviews online or the auditions and the taping of things from abroad. And that also, I think, comes into play when some people are on location and working on one set, and they have all these other opportunities they can't afford to take because they don't know honestly how to work their cameras well enough or send those auditions out.
Did I see that somewhere in the last year or two you guys had acquired at least one property to develop for yourselves? Or is there more of that going on?
We've got several things on the go. We've got some properties that we have rights for that now we're just in the early stages of developing and getting scripts up and running on. The answer to that is yes.
I thought you meant actual land. I was did we buy land? We do have some of that going on too. As far as we have the rights to two properties. One is a book that's written called Destruction of Innocence, about a woman whose child has been kidnapped and then was sold into child slavery in South America and recovered, which is unusual after so many years. And the other is the story of my uncle who won the first gold medal for rowing in Canada. My mom wrote the script initially, and so that was an easy person to get the rights from, but a little nepotism.
Mm-hmm. Didn't make you sweat for the rights and the price?
Not yet.
What I was curious about is one of the things you were talking about, how the industry has changed so much, and part of that is it's more important now to own the rights to things that you appear in, because I think that as actors you're probably getting paid less or it's probably flattened, the rates have flattened, but if you own something and you control the distribution and the money coming in after, as opposed to doing deals with studios, indie studios or major studios, where you have to rely on Hollywood bookkeeping and you never see anything. Today there's ways to distribute all kinds of media, whether it's books like I do or film or TV, but it's important to own the rights and control it.
Yeah. So in that sense, it's freeing because it means you can have direct control over the stuff that you create in a faster way. You don't have to have an entire studio to back you before you can get your idea out there into the world. You can get your idea out in the world on YouTube now and build a business off that and promote yourself. So in that sense, it's really freeing. But you have to own the properties yourself because, yes, our union has done a crap job, a horrible, horrible job of representing actors. The SAG-AFTRA deal is a fantastic move in the right direction, but in terms of my friends and who I've seen, it's not cool. It's just not livable anymore, and even producers will tell you that they're like, dude, your union sucks. Like, we're ripping you off. Like, we know we're ripping you off. We know we're getting you for slave wages, and yet your union is doing nothing to protect you. That's been told to me. So, yeah, it's a new world out there. And so we have to – it's good to create your own stuff because then you become the producer, mm-hmm.
We went through this – I did with the music industry years ago, mm-hmm. and it was a very similar transition. Actually, no, it was a harder fall, the music industry. I think that the movie and television industry at least took the note from the music industry not to make the mistake of just sticking their head in the sand and pretending it wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how bad it could have been worse. The transition could have just absolutely, the union could have fallen in pieces and everything could be non-union at this point. Producers could have broken with the union, but could be better. It's been a weird, clunky thing. I'm sure it'll get straightened out in the next few years, but then there'll be new ways of some sort of social media things that pop up, and it'll just constantly evolving. It's hard to stay on top of it. Can't make those new adjustments as fast as the technology comes out. It's crazy.
Yeah, you can. Well, they're just not doing it.
It's harder, as we become the next generation. It becomes harder for us to adjust to the changes of the current generation or the next or the upcoming generation. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to be the young kid on the block anymore.
I think that goes back to if you think that we're busy, it's from that. It's just staying on top of technology more than anything. I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about some show specifics, because I think people who are fans of yours or watch some of the shows we're going to mention will be interested in some of this. Christian, let's start with you. You just appeared in the final two episodes of the fifth season of Haven, which was – I watched that show. I love that show. I've watched it from the first week. I imagine that had to be a very weird time to be on set with them, in that they went into that not knowing if they'd be back – for a sixth season. They had to wrap up years of storylines just in case. And yeah. I kind of wondered, before we talk about your specific role, I just wondered if it was at all weird or uncomfortable on set for that couple of weeks.
This is all news to me. Oh. I didn't realize it was that sort of a situation. They had told me there was possibility of like the fifth season. They didn't know, but don't worry, that's just a child that I'm torturing with a shot in the background. It's fine. there we go. Anyway.
Well, you're not torturing, but someone is.
Yeah, someone's torturing.
Should I go look?
Yeah, I think you should go look.
Maybe that's somebody auditioning. Maybe they think this is a more important show than it is.
I don't know. Yeah. So you might have captured some really serious stuff, Ira. You know, it's like capturing a 911 call, right? Screaming of a child as they scream for their daddy.
That's why I like doing these shows. You know, people are at home, they're relaxed.
For all you watching right now, you get to see the mundane, banal part of our lives. being the big of stars we are, it's, you know, screaming children just like everyone else. We're just like them.
That's what you get for not being on set today somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Emergency. There was some emergency that the television channel changed something.
Well,
very dramatic household.
It worked out very well. I mean, I think it gave us something special here that we would not have had if you were off on a set somewhere in a trailer.
Yeah.
Okay, so we were talking about Haven, and but you were aware that it was the end of the season. You just didn't know that there was no.
I knew it was the end of the season, but no one seemed to be too tense about it. They all had a kind of zen-like attitude, sort of like, "Hey, it's been a really good run." They had gratitude, appreciation. Of course, it would be lovely if they had another season, but basically, if nothing happened, then they'd be okay with it, you know, get on with their lives. You know, they've all been out in Halifax for years. That's where it shoots. And that's, for many of them, they're far away from their lives. So, for the show, they didn't want the show to end. But at the same time, they were able to rationalize the ending by saying, well, at least they'll be able to spend more time back at home. So it was nice.
Well, they're not only far from their homes in Halifax, they're far from Canada. They're pretty far out there.
Yeah. It's beautiful out there. It's like Hobbitville. You know, it's crazy just how pristine and green and it's amazing and really lovely people. And the people are, not as hairy footed, but just as lovely and hobbity. It's great.
I know every time we've watched the show, we've thought we love Maine, but we look at that and go, we have to get there. That just looks beautiful.
It's kind of like Maine on steroids. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, so
we're on Big Love the day they found out it was the last season, right? And that kind of came out left field.
I was sitting in the back of a van on the way back to base camp. And
were you the one who told them?
Yeah, I was one. I found, someone contacted me via text message saying, oh, sorry to hear about Big Love. Someone who had an inside scoop on it. And then I said, I think half the cast were in there. Chloe Sevigny. Yeah,
were you like one of the first episodes? Was it one of your first episodes?
No, it would have – been like episode 5 or whatever I was doing. And I just said, have you heard it? And they all just went sort of like, what? And immediately got on their phones.
That's
awesome. I was there at that moment. It's an awful moment. That's when a cast has been so close and so happy and felt so fulfilled to witness that is horrible. Because, you know, I've been in that position myself to get that call when a TV series hasn't been picked up and you really believed in it. And it just, you know, all that possibility of what your life was going to be, to see it all just sort of switch in a moment is it's hard, and it's hard to watch.
Yeah. Well, it was weird on Haven. I won't linger on this long, but it was weird on Haven because we've watched it from the beginning. You get to about 5 minutes out from the end and thinking, wow, how are they going to wrap this whole series up in the next 5 minutes? And they got so close, and then suddenly they pulled a twist and they left it open for another season. And my wife and I were just like, what the hell just happened? Anyway, but let's talk about your character, because that was a very interesting moment. You played for people who watched and are not making quite the connection, you played Ben Harker, whose son has a family curse, or the troubles, as they have it in Haven. And when he cries, it causes people to die instantly. The thing is, what happens to your character, I thought, was one of the most shocking twists they've ever had in that series.
Yeah.
I mean, you died, but I mean, you know, to have to go through that, I don't know if there's anything you can add to it, but it was just shocking what happened to your character. I don't want to say, but...
Really? Oh, okay, interesting.
It's only been a couple weeks. I figure there's people who... I mean, my wife and I caught up on 8 episodes in a week.
So. Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. So.
Neither have I, actually.
Oh, you should see it. It's really good.
The writer of that episode, Sharon Alden, I thought she did a great job on it. She texted me and said she was getting great response from it and all that stuff. So I look forward to seeing it. Yeah.
Again, I don't want to give it away, but when you read the script, were you a little surprised what happened to your character? I was.
I'm never really surprised too much when you do television or film. Those twists are what we live for. So if it's a surprise, I guess that's a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It was good. It was definitely good.
And I knew they had to kill me at some point because I knew in my deal that it was only, you know, it was only a couple episode arc. So generally on that show, if you're in the town of Haven, things don't turn out well for you.
Yeah, and there's not many people from the outside that ever come, and there's not many people that ever leave the town. So, you're probably right in thinking that.
You kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about another one of your appearances, and that was Elementary. Now, I'm not as caught up on Elementary this season. I've been catching it kind of hit or miss. My wife and daughter have been watching it. Tell me a little bit about you were in the second season. I want to say it was the 5th episode, but I'm not positive. Who did you play?
I wouldn't forgotten the character name anyways, but basically I'm an evil cerebral. That's just what I'm finding my casting. Actually, she coined that phrase, the evil cerebral. Those are the roles that I play. It's funny because Elementary and White Collar, both my character was pretty much a carbon imprint. They were like an Edward Snowden meet Julian Assange meet Bradley Manning kind of characters, where they're people trying to blow the top off of corruption and state secrets and whatnot, but kind of gone bad, you know. So I can talk about both shows basically because I played the same character, Snowden. You know,
Elementary seems like a very smartly written show.
It is tightly written. Yeah, it is very. Yeah. And I got to hang out in a private plane for half a day in like a really. A Maybach car, which I never knew what a Maybach was, or is Maybach. I can't even pronounce it. That's how little I know about this car. But you know,
on Unkindness of Ravens too.
Yes, I was.
Wow, fancy.
Ooh-wee.
And do you guys get to go on each other's shoots much, or do you do that separately? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We try to as much as possible. It makes it. Yeah, we have to. Bring home where we go because we're often on the road. So
we like working together. We like being together. So you know, if I get into hang out in a, doesn't matter if I'm hanging out at home or hanging out in a hotel room while she's on set, I can get my work done and then I can come out and hang out on set every once in a while. But generally, I have an office. So
we that's part of that tech savvy that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. All right. Well, Mariko, let's talk about some of your recent stuff. frankly, I don't know how you have time to be sitting here based on this. How did you manage to set up recurring roles on three shows? How does that happen?
I put it on my wish list the year. I did. Really did.
Generally she attains what she goes for.
Well, so. I really love being a part of a cast for more than one episode, and I hadn't had many opportunities of that. But you invest yourself in a character and you become a part of a family, and it's so much fun to be I'm able to do it because I'm not one of the leads of any of these. I'm a recurring, and I love that position because, yes, you can do more than one. You can be part of these different experiences. There's such diverse styles of television from Defiance, sci-fi, and, the teen show Degrassi, and then, Dick Wolf drama. I really love being a part of a series for longer than one episode, just because you get to know your character more. You get to know your the family who are the cast and crew of that show. And you get the security of being in that show for a little bit. You get to sort of rest and not run around and do all these interviews and auditions all the time. And then if you've got more than one, if you've got three going at the same time, it's even more fun because you've got that much more, basically family and friends of these shows. You have more characters to explore at the same time, and even more security that, you've got something coming up next week. That's the big thing for actors, is once the minute you get a role, you're already thinking, okay, next role, So it's nice to have the recurring and to not worry about
basically,
that.
Basically, to sum all that up, job security.
Yeah.
Well, job security, yeah.
Nice. Two words, job security.
And that's the reason for it, is saying how I really focused on the roles that were being offered at the time. I was asking for that with my management and agents. Some people really want to do large films. Some people want to do indie films. Some people are different, or theater. You focus on certain things. And my focus was to be, I'm not a lead of any of these series, so that enables me to have time to do more than one. And my focus was to do exactly that. And I just asked for that. And those are the roles they sent me out on. And it happened. I mean, I'm really lucky too.
Was it a busy pilot season for you then in the spring?
No, actually. Last year was a pretty rough year for me, just physically and emotionally. It was kind of, I think, a rough year for a lot of people. We talked about that 2012 thing. So it was just coming off of that. And we spent a lot of time in North Bay doing a film that Christian was on.
Yeah.
Kind of ducked out of pilot season a bit. You did Supernatural at the beginning, so we were in Vancouver. Then we were in North Bay doing the Banner project for him. So I just was ducked out of it. Sometimes pilot season is just, it's a lot of opportunity, but at the same time, everybody is engaged in that wholeheartedly. That time, all the other actors, and I'm a little bit coming to the point where I like getting cast at other times of the year. I'd rather just be calm and not be against the whole race, the rat race of the industry.
Just kind of sit outside of the rat race. We're still in it. We're a little removed from it.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah. You haven't left us behind.
No.
Are there any similarities between any of these three roles?
Like Christian says, he plays evil cerebrals. Mm-hmm. He always plays a man with a secret too. Mm-hmm. I notice he plays a good. I play characters that are determined. I think it has something to do with the angles of my face.
It might have something to do with the fact that that's exactly who you are, honey. You're a determined being, so therefore you play determined human beings well.
That's just, I guess that's the costume I wear. But I feel
it's
like
her essence and the core of her being. Determination.
I feel like a goofball, like a complete, silly clown in my life. And then I'm just always surprised when these roles come, like, they take me seriously. But so that's been kind of owning that. I can play lawyers or strong mothers or strong aliens. determined warriors, you know.
Are the roles in Chicago PD and Defiance, is there, do you think there's opportunity down the line for either of those to become a more regular role as things develop?
Every single one of the recurring roles that I'm on right now are open. And as far as they've told me, things change, things don't get picked up even for the next season. I don't even know if any of these shows will, I don't have any guarantee that they continue at all. But as far as I know, there's the opportunity is there.
Mm-hmm. And are you still shooting actively?
Right. For the rest of this year, I'm wrapped out, but more for next year. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. I want to ask you both about another genre role that you did. Both will be of interest to my 17-year-old daughter. Amerika, you had a role in Warehouse 13 this past year, Rebecca Carson in their black and white episode. It was a great episode, a lot of fun. Not something that will recur, but you got to have fun with an artifact. Can you tell me anything about that?
Oh, the elephant. Yes. Well, it was interesting because I get really heady about things, and it's you don't think that you have to practice that. You know, I'm practicing my lines and my character, and I'm in this, as you know, this film noir, and I've got this affectation going on, and you know, catching the lighting the certain way and making sure that all that stylistically is intact. And then they hand you the artifact, you know, and then right before you're doing the scene, and you're like, how does this thing shoot? How do you shoot an elephant? Like, is it from the back? Is it from the front? Is it from underneath? And I'm like, is it better I shoot that or like that? And I'm like, I never got elephant laser training, you know? So all of a sudden you're like, cut, time out. Any, like, help. Does anybody want to?
Where's the safety on this thing?
Like, is something going to actually happen?
Is this thing loaded? Is this thing clear?
And sometimes you don't know if they like actually put like a light in it or something, or, you know, and so you're like, I don't know how this works. And then because it's done in post, and the visual effects guys sometimes are there. They were on set for us in Defiant, but sometimes they aren't, and I don't think they were at that for Warehouse 13. So someone else is trying to describe what they think it might be, and they're like, I think in post it's going to be like coming out of the elephant that way. And so you're like, well, let's hope they're right, you know?
You really want it to come out the front end. It's just a PG show, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, it actually came out the side.
So kind of halfway. Halfway between PG and a full-on R.
Yeah.
And
you can kind of make up the way it works. Like, is it a twist and a push? Or, you know, so you can have fun with it sometimes. But in the end, I get nervous because it seems all fun on the day. And then the minute it's on TV, I'm like, oh, God, is that going to look, like, super ridiculous?
Well, and I have two technical questions about that. I don't know if you can answer or not, but was there more than one elephant? Do they have more than one artifact on set just in case?
Usually there's always a backup prop of any sort, but I don't remember if they did have one. I didn't break any of them, so I didn't need to ask.
Good one. That's good. Awesome.
Don't think it's
very professional of you not to break the props.
That's great.
She's a pro.
They don't use anything. They have doubles of us, you know, somewhere, I'm sure.
So the other question about that was, it was a black and white episode, something they hadn't done before. Technically, were they making greater pains in terms, I mean, you're always being lit and set and, you know, the light is here, the light is there, but were they more concerned than normal because it was going to appear in black and white?
I haven't been on set with them before. Christian has done an episode of that, but they were very concerned about the style, yes.
Yeah,
and very,
they're shooting noir, so
right.
yeah.
Dark.
Absolutely, and really hard contrast lines, which require an entirely different kind of lighting style. So
super fun.
Yeah. I'm sure they had a great time, the DPs.
We were cracking up, and Enrico Colatoni. Yeah, we were just cracking up with all that lingo, tongue twisters of lines, hysterical.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. So we watched. Now, now, Christian, I want to come back because you guys had mentioned Supernatural, and I'd forgotten about that. Which Supernatural? When were you? I don't. You don't have to name the season and the episode, but
I can give a hint. I played in Man's Best Friend with Benefits. What is it?
Yep.
That was the name of the title of it. And I basically played a witch, a warlock, who sleeps with a dog.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that's what I did. That's a very beautiful dog. To be fair, she was a dog that turned into a girl that turned into a dog, but basically, you know, you can extrapolate. Yeah, I was a dog. Anyway, yeah, that's what I did. I know this is a PG show, but I was a dog. I basically did that. So I've a lot of humility, and you know, and I basically I threw out my dignity years ago.
It was a great episode, so. And it was funny because I was actually the first runner up to play the dog.
Oh, really?
Play.
And I didn't. I lost out to another actress to play the role.
Fools.
But then I was on set. It was really funny because I was like, thank you for not having me been in this position, because this husband and wife dynamic of me being his obedient.
It's true. I would have heard about it for years.
Calling him master with a dog collar. I'm like, that.
Not going to go over well with her. She's not. That's not how.
They were
guess
right.
Guess who wears the pants in our family? Can't. It's not me.
I would have bit you. I think I would have bit you if I had to call you master and you had me by a dog collar.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I would think the really hard part would be dealing with in-laws after they had seen that performance, if you had done that together.
Well, and nothing has been worse than after we did Neighbor together, the movie that we met on, just because I was torturing him the whole time. Uh-huh. And his poor mother-in-law, we told everybody not to watch it in our family because it is.
We were like, this is just really awfully violent. It's awfully violent.
It's gory. And they're not into that type of film unless you are. You're not going to get why we even did it. Mm.
I don't know why we did it, but I met you, so that's why we did it.
It's a style, of how much blood can you actually get out in a scene.
Apparently there's a lot of blood.
There's a lot of blood. How creative can you – what creative ways can you find to torture somebody? Mm-hmm. So we did that, and we told our family not to watch it. And his mom has sometimes amnesia about that sort of thing and just loves to see –
She wants to see her little boy and everything.
I think she forgot when we told her that. Yeah. And her friend brought it over one day in Amsterdam, where she lives, overdubbed in Dutch or something.
Yeah.
And
which just makes it worse. Not a pretty language.
I don't know. And she said, "Oh, I found the movie. Look, it's you know, both their names on the cover. Blah blah blah." Hmm. And put it in, and she put it in and wrote me this like email. It was just like, why would you ever do that to my son? And stop. And I was like, please watch this movie.
How funny.
We were actually really happily in love while I was torturing him on set. So we were like, in between each take, we're
I feel
singing.
It shows in the performance. You know, it's just, it's that, it just really brought up the value.
Well, speaking of torture, I only have a couple more questions. Amrika, this one's for you. The second time we talked, you were – and don't worry, I'm not going to go too far with this – but you were downstairs during rehearsals for Spider-Man Turn Out the Dark. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to dwell on it too much because I know you don't want to really go there. But I just wondered if there were any kind of career takeaways from that experience. I mean, anything that you could say, well, I learned X, Y, and Z by having gone through that. It may not have been a great experience on the whole. It may not have ended well. But, you know, was there anything that you could take away from that professionally?
I think the most amazing part of that show was how well I think they cast everybody in it, because the working with that ensemble was, they were just such a special group of people. And we went through such a highlighted show, as you know, in the media together, and through a lot of we had this adventure together, and they're just still some of my best friends. And it was that thing where they say directing is casting well. And I think that is something that was really well accomplished. People who were just troopers, dedicated, hardworking, happy, great attitude people, who are still my friends, still great, wonderful, happy people to this day. Or whatever anybody's heard about it.
Yeah, we've made great friendships from that cast.
Doing
and
really
still,
well.
Still, you know, they're going to be shutting down in January, but, you know, we've been keeping tabs on them and how the show has been going, and they've really enjoyed the process since then.
It's really about the company you keep and who you're around and who you're with.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly went through a one-of-a-kind experience. I don't think anyone in Broadway history has been through had the focus on them as sharply and had the nonstop at a certain period of press that was on you. I could see that you would become very close with the people that you were with, because probably there's no one else you could even talk to outside of your families. A, you couldn't talk about it anyway, but I mean, no one would believe what you had been through if they read, when there's a book, I think, that's come out or coming out about that. And it's, you know, if you didn't know that it actually happened, you would think it was made up.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I was talking to my shrink about it. and she sworn to secrecy, my doctor. Yeah. And I wondered if she thought I was crazy. And then later she was reading headlines and she's like, oh, okay.
My client is not crazy. Those things actually did happen. It's that actually reality is crazy.
It's not, it's all is well that ends well. And everybody's happy and healthy and fine.
All right. Well, I'd work on your husband maybe when this is over. He seems a little not so, I don't know. Yeah, he's kind of making faces when you're saying that.
No, that cast has gone to war together. They've gone to war together. They've all been in the trenches. So,
kind of like the cast of Apocalypse Now in many ways, I suspect.
Yeah, kind of like that. There might be a little PTSD going on there. I'm saying what I have to say. That's all right.
All right, so changing the subject. The two of you got to work together on a project, actually working together. The animated Bramantown Musicians. And Christian, you had done the voice of Max Steel for many seasons, the animated series. You did the movie. Did you have any particular advice for your wife about this kind of voice work? Or, Amerika, had you done much of this before?
I hadn't done much of it before, but I'd actually auditioned a lot of times for them before, so I had practice in that. Christian got me involved in voiceover work through his agents a couple of years ago. And I've had a couple little gigs here and there, but nothing that's like a feature. But it's very similar to being a recording artist. You know, you're just manipulating your voice, and it's so much fun because you can be, the role that I played in that was something I would never be cast at as usually. And it was fun to be able to just be a voice and to be beyond the physical limitations, and just do something completely, you know, bizarre and out of your regular casting.
There's a great deal of freedom. Yeah, doing voice work. You can play characters you don't get to play on screen.
That's well said.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant.
And
we literally give you the long and short of it.
You do. Mm-hmm. You've given a lot here, and I'm only going to take a little bit more. What makes working together desirable for the two of you, and how do you guard against pitfalls that maybe other couples who've worked together have had to deal with?
I don't know. It's been pretty easy so far working together.
But yeah, we work together fine.
That's actually probably why we're married. We really work together well. You know, there's a love and all that, but it also we just enjoy doing our life, you know. We're like,
I think we have to, it's a huge amount of trust that we have in each other, and that we trust that anything that's said, criticism or anything like that, is done out of love and in full respect and support. And that even though we go through some hard times of critiquing each other on things, you know, whether it's just like that his thing with me is, you know, be more authentic, and because I'll go off and I can be kind of a big character pretty easily, like you've seen in Bitch Slap or something. And so he's always saying, no, you know, trying to tone me down or something like that. And he's my best director and coach for auditions and whatnot. And it's hard to hear that from the person you love, because at first it rings a little bit like a criticism that you just can't handle. It's like, no, your approval's the one I want the most. Mm-hmm. But then you have to be reminded that he's saying it out of complete love and respect, and that was rocky at times, but we've worked past that.
Yeah.
And now we have like trigger words when it's like
it's just hard. It's hard to hear from the person that you love when you've got to like work on your stuff together. Like call out call out your tricks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have, as actors, as human beings, I think we all have tricks. We all have our little
tells,
our little habits that we do that don't, you know, it takes the person to love to say, hey, man, you don't need to do that. You know, you can, there's something else there.
Right. Or I can see you doing this, you know, mm-hmm. you're not hiding anything.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's been great, this technology, auditions, interviews on tape and everything. And we can watch it back. And because there'll be that argument, like, I didn't say that. I didn't do it that way. And it's like, actually, we've got it on tape. So let's and then it becomes educational. We become our own kind of best coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
That's great.
Great. Well, folks, listen, while it seems like you can find Americo Olivo and Christian Campbell in everything these days, do look specifically for her in Chicago PD and Defiance on NBC and Degrassi, The Next Generation, which I believe is in syndication. I actually probably should have checked to be sure, but I think in the U.S. it's seen in syndication. And
Yeah.
And if you missed Christian Campbell in the last two episodes of Sci-Fi's Haven, I know you can look for them on demand from your cable provider. He'll also appear in the upcoming film An Unkindness of Ravens, and they'll be together in the animated folktale Bramantown Musicians. Do you guys each have a website, Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of stuff?
We have it all.
Yep. Yeah, we do. Yeah, you can find us. You can find me on Facebook, although I'm still learning. I'm still learning about this Facebook.
But you're on Twitter at US Canuck.
U.S. Canuck, yeah, you can reach
it's
me there.
It's U-S-C-A-N-U-K, right?
That's right.
So, and then you can just go to, you know, americaolivo.com, and my links are there. My Twitter is esotericam. My Facebook is just my name.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. People will find you there. And we'll have links to the movies and things like that. That'll be, if you're watching this on MrMedia.com, right below the video, you should be able to see covers of movies and series, TV shows and stuff. You can click on that and go to Amazon and pick those up. Yep, that's exactly where it is. Thank you very much. Americo and Christian, it is always a pleasure.
Authentic.
Sorry.
Yeah. Is that bring it down a little bit? Bring it down. Okay.
Directing again.
It is always a pleasure to see you and to see you doing well. And thank you both so much for joining us again on Mr. Media.
Thank you.